don't do podcasts, Sam. I'm only doing this because I love you. I never do podcasts.
Hold on.
You know that I have a no podcast rule. I've only done it for people that I wanted to seek revenge upon with kindness.
I'm in the new studio. I'm liking what I see. I like the color scheme. I think it's interesting. Blues and grays. You know, it's a little more hardcore than that foo-foo pink. Thank you, kids. I'm with a very happy, good friend of mine who I love to death. Just celebrated her big birthday. Big 22-year-old Vicky Pez, everybody.
Hello, Illuminati.
How are you, Vicky?
I'm older.
You're not older.
I am.
You're like wine.
Yeah, just like it.
You're getting better.
I am getting better.
You Yay! Are. So excited for the children. A lot of great stuff going on. Little thing for everybody on the All Things Comedy tip. If you have an Apple TV, a smart Apple TV, you can now download All Things Comedy shows, in particular, The Naughty Show.
We would hope specifically The
Naughty
Show.
Well, let me tell you why. Because it said some of our podcasts are available on Apple TV. And I was like, uh-oh. So I'm like.
No, we're in the picture.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. But that was before I saw our picture. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, man, did we make the cut?
Oh, yeah.
And we made the cut.
We made the cut.
Super excited about that.
And Punch Drunk, too.
Punch Drunk made it, too. Big announcement. Our good friend Ari Shaffir's TV show got picked up.
Yes. This is not happening.
This is not happening. It's now going to be on Comedy Central. We are going to live in an amazing world where Ari Shaffir has his own TV show.
It's so exciting.
I'm so excited for him. I've been working with him forever. He's a great guy. I love him to death. But I got to be honest with you, Vicky. I'm excited to be back at the show. I was home. I miss hanging out with you guys and doing the show. I know you guys had a crazy show. I heard it went really well with Daryl. People seem to love the episode.
Oh, he was so great.
What
he
is
was
it he great?
So, so cool and great. He was pissed at the end because he thought it was going to be 2 hours.
Well, he's like, oh, damn.
Yeah, he's like, I would have shut up. And it's like, no, no, no. You were perfect.
Dude, it's so true. There's nothing better than a guest who won't shut up. Because sometimes you have to pull stuff out of people. When people just keep talking, it's so much easier for you.
When it's yes or no.
Especially when you're in, what, episode 214?
Yeah, and you when you plow through all the bullet points or questions in the first 10 minutes, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, so we had our first no-show. Controversy. Good job.
Oh.
Rick on the keyboards.
Well, it was definitely the least amount of people here. We were down you, so it was just Gareth and I, three people in the booth. Rick was there, RoboCop was there, and the guest didn't show up. And we're watching the clock, and I'm thinking in my head, I don't think he's coming. But I don't want to say it out loud until around maybe 20 after. And then I'm like, maybe I should address what's happening here.
Okay. Our guest is here. Is RoboCop going to get her? Okay. She's here. Did she bring her dog? I don't know.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So you guys just talked for an hour.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah?
You guys are good with each other.
Yeah.
Like you guys know each other.
Yeah, it's almost like we're friends.
It's
almost
crazy.
Like we're really friends.
And speaking of friends, Gareth is not here. Gareth is now, he's doing an All Things Comedy live show right now.
Yes, at the Bootleg Hi-Fi. Well,
where is that?
I guess no need to plug it if you're listening.
Right,
it's
but
over.
Where is it?
I don't know. I thought it was somewhere near Hollywood, near you. But I really don't know.
Very crazy, man. So I'm happy he's doing it and glad he's doing really well with all that stuff. I got back from town. I was in upstate New York seeing my family. It was pretty sweet. I went back upstate New York, Cortland, just outside Syracuse. Also known as 1985. It's 1985 in certain parts of this world. I don't know if you guys, people in the studio, where you might be from, but this country is moving to a place where it's going to be big cities, third world. That's what you're going for. You have these huge modern cities mm-hmm. where everyone's moved to, and then these outsiders who live in third worlds.
Right.
Everything's brown. Nobody takes credit cards. Hey, man,
that's
I'd
insane.
Like to pay for this credit card. Oh, well, credit card, what are you talking about? You're going to pay for it right here? Oh, we don't do that.
Wait, wait. How do they expect you to pay? Like cash?
Yeah.
Like they think people have cash on them?
In 1985, they still have cash.
Insane. That's insane.
They still have cash in 1985.
I hope they're writing out checks. I really hope that's what's happening.
They really are. It's crazy. So I got to go there. It was a lot of fun. I did a... Like I go home and every time I'm about to come home, they're like, you going to do a show? I'm like, no. Come on. Everybody wants you to do a show. I'm like, I don't want to. Like, come on. I'm like, okay. So... My friends own a bar called Ivan's, and it's a really nice, it's a nice dive bar, and I mean that in the best sense of the word.
Right.
It's a really nice dive bar, one of your bars you go to when you're a local, and you just get shit-faced.
Yeah, they're the best kind of bars.
For $10. Yeah. Like, you are just blackout drunk for 10 bucks. Nobody's spending any money getting shit-faced. They're just, it's $10. So we go do this thing. I'm like, no one's going to show up to this.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to show up. Place is packed. And by packed, maybe 50 people. But that's all the place could fit.
Yeah, that's full capacity.
Yeah, for something I didn't even advertise, which was hilarious. I didn't advertise. Place packs. It's friends, family, my mom's coworkers. And it's just like, I mean, like, I'm editing on the fly. It is like an Eminem song on the radio. We're beep, 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 beep. I'm heading on fly. They're like, come on, get crazier. So I just started laying into it. The women were laughing harder than some of the local people.
Really?
It was really crazy. Here's what I've learned. Nobody's got cable in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you were saying that, and that's really insane to me.
Nobody's got that's HBO.
That's just crazy.
I'm like, hey, anyone like Games of Thrones? Just staring at me. We have no clue what Spanish you just spoke to us. Game of Thrones. Do you know it? No, you do not.
How are you not even aware of it?
I can't. I don't know, man. Nobody watches
Honestly,
it.
Though, I act like that, but I'm like that with sports. Because when someone doesn't know a show or an actor, I'm appalled. Yeah. I am appalled by that shit. But I couldn't name you like 10 athletes. So, everyone has their things,
no,
I guess.
No, I got you, but it's very interesting. Hey, there she is. There she is. We'll bring her in 2 seconds. Kappa Squad, get some free coffee. Get some free coffee, young lady. Did that. That was a lot of fun. So then I did a showcase at a comedy club called Funny Bones in Syracuse. And they just had opened this club. And Ron Funstein was headlining. I went there on a Wednesday. It was sold out.
Oh, my God.
Sold out. I'm like, Ron, are you selling? He's like, oh, yeah. And they go ask the people who run the club. I'm like, this is packed. He's like, this is slow for us. So this, and it's a gorgeous club.
Mm-hmm.
It's a giant Funny Bones in this giant mall called Destiny. Who names their mall after like a stripper?
Well, that's where you go. It's your destiny to fucking
right,
shop.
Right. I'm sure they said that 1,000 times.
Yeah, but that was in the pitch like meeting. That was
single
a part
mother,
of it.
Glitter, looking for a paycheck. So I go there, and I did a showcase, and so I show up, they're like, okay, you want 5 minutes? I'm like, what? What do you mean 5 minutes? Like, you want to do five? I'm like, I'm a national headliner. They're like, dude, our showcases are 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go up there, I'll do five.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the feature go up, who's it's an interesting story. He's a nice guy, but he was doing 25. Then they had me go up and do five right before Funston.
Right.
And I'm like, what am I, commercial break? So I went up there within 2 seconds. I'm getting applause breaks. I'm killing. I get off. I go, listen, I'd love for you to see what I do. Can I do a long set? Sure. Come back. Do 10 minutes. I'm like, okay. So I went back and I did 10 minutes and I got a weekend there.
Nice.
Yeah, which is pretty sweet.
See, so it was worth it.
And it's a great weekend. I get to go home and see my mother, but I get paid to do it, mm-hmm. which is a big thing. But being on the road is interesting because features are interesting people. There's two kinds of features.
You sound like Bugs Bunny.
Features. Features. There are two features. There are local features who have gotten funny enough that they could do 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the fun ones to work with because they're just so thankful to be getting 25 minutes at an A-list club.
Right.
Then you go and you do. Then you got the features who are actually touring features. And they are the most miserable people on the planet.
And you mentioned that a lot, and I always think that's so insane, because in the grand scheme of careers,
yeah,
it's really not a bad one.
Well, it's not a great one, because you're not making a lot of money. And the way you make a lot of money is by hawking shit. And no one really wants to hawk shit after a show.
Right.
And
good point.
They always think they should be headlining. And they have no clue why you're headlining. Right. And if you're from Los Angeles, it's even worse. They're like, oh, you're from L.A.? I should be in L.A. I could be killing it. And they want to teach you who's the funniest.
Right. The move. Who's stopping you?
Nobody. That's the whole thing. They come up with their reasons for not going there and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I wanted to talk about that. I did a show at Red Band.
Yeah, how was Arizona?
We did a show in Red Band with Red Band in Arizona. We did Tucson, Arizona, and we did Phoenix, Arizona. And it was awesome. Tucson's great because I've never been to Tucson. And Tucson, I've learned, is kind of like the Portland of Arizona.
Okay.
They have the same vibe. The people have the same vibe. It's much more artsy than Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix has the culture of a 65-year-old white woman. Meaning none.
I've only been to their airport.
Phoenix?
Yeah.
Yeah, airport.
I've never ventured outside the airport.
It's much better than them. But Tucson's great. Now, Tucson was a great show because we did a place called Hotel Congress, which is haunted by some outlaw that got shot in the 1800s. So we do it. Huge Death Squad turnout because Red Band's there. Huge
right.
one. He crushes.
Yeah.
He crushes. And then the next night, it's my relatives, and it's a lot of fun. 100 people, super crush. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to work with Red Band because I learned a lot about him for the first time
mm-hmm.
that I didn't know before. Like, he's a lot more talented than people think.
Yeah.
And we were kind of talking about that he is more – he's – where he is, not just by luck, where some people think.
No, not at all. No, I always think Red Band doesn't get all the credit that he deserves for, not just how much he can do, but how much he's done. And how all the things that he's done have helped so many people. And just the domino effect of everything that he's done. But.
100%. So it was a lot of fun. We're going to do a show in Florida. And it's going to be great. I got a bunch of gigs coming up this weekend. I am at the La Jolla Comedy Store with Gareth Reynolds and Kyle Ray. Okay, so I'm going to be there. And I'll give you more dates on the next episode. Big announcement, and then we're bringing our guest. Guess whose album's coming out? No controversy. Anti-controversy.
Gareth's album. Is Gareth's album coming out?
Gareth's
no,
Gareth's album. Sam Tripoli's album, Believe Yourself, finally has a release date. Will be May 20th. It will be available on iTunes.
Nice.
May 20th. Finally, it's out. How long ago did you edit that for me?
That had to be clear over 6 to 8 weeks ago, man. I'm proud of you. It sounds really, really good. I edited it, and I still laugh, even though I know all the punchlines to all the jokes.
So that'll be out.
Weeks later.
I will be doing a tour. I'll be doing a bunch of podcasts. Give me a list of podcasts you think I should go on, and I would do it.
Okay, I'll get right on that for you. Or you could just, you know. Look at a computer.
Give it up for Vicky, everybody.
And,
being a team
yourself.
Player.
I am a team player, actually. Very
is our
much
guest
so.
Still here or did she leave? Is she here? Okay, let's bring her in. Let's not keep the queen waiting.
I'm really excited. I'm really excited about this.
Whichever one she wants to sit in. Is she ready or is she just...
Is Sarah Tiana here?
No.
Oh.
Are you okay? Oh, she brought Ramona, too?
Oh, my God, there's a doggy, too. Yay.
Is this our first or our second dog appearance on the podcast? Please welcome to The Naughty Show, one of my favorite people in the world. She is the James Brown of comedy, the hardest working human being I've ever met.
I'm the downtown Julie Brown.
You're not downtown Julie Brown. Cop a squat, pick a seat. Please welcome the very funny Whitney Cummings. Whitney, come.
You had to give me a canned applause break after I've spent my whole career trying to deny that I have fake laugh tracks in my nose. That's
sorry
what you
about
do to
that.
Me.
The kids love you.
No,
love
I'm
you.
A
is
liar.
That okay, or do you need the seat fit?
so stupid. I have post-traumatic stress syndrome, so not too many sound effects, please.
Don't do a lot with her. She's very
sensitive. Why is this so short? Was Brad Williams your last guest?
What do you? Oh yeah, it's. Oh, that's why. Charlie, yeah, help her out.
It's like super.
Act like you care.
Sorry, no, don't.
Don't act like you care.
You wouldn't be the first man that doesn't care about me.
We'll get into all that.
All right. Now, we'll wait.
This is the new studio we're in.
This is fancy. I thought I was going to like your apartment.
If you think this fancy, you should have seen our old one.
I pulled up and I was like, "This is a real thing."
Yeah.
I'm in pajamas. I'm literally in my pajamas.
I know. You thought you were coming to my slumber party. I know. In my fucking garage.
This is my bedtime, first of all. So this is big that I'm even here and awake.
I took a Lunesta. I was going to offer you water, but I don't know if you still drink that, or have you quit water too?
No, I try to drink water. I'm going to start any day now.
Yeah, I thought you quit water. Last time I saw you, quit caffeine.
Is that true?
Meats.
No.
Nothing?
No, I'm pretty much on
everything
right now. Yeah, I'm on everything. Off the wagon, on everything. Sorry, I'm really taking in. What's that pillow of? There's a lot of tits in here, man. Well, I feel like I didn't come to play at all.
You did come to play.
I don't know.
Brought the dog. That means you mean business.
That's true. I wasn't fucking around.
Apparently, there's some dog cat cockfighting going on in here.
This is nice to meet you guys. I didn't meet you.
Yeah.
Ladies in here. And
I'm Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
Oh, this is Vicky. She's a
You're
big
You're dressed like shit, too. I feel better.
Yeah. That's how I like to roll.
Yeah,
here.
But we all dress
I don't even
like
try
shit.
To compete. You know what I mean?
I respect that. I like your style.
What do you think nice. You should be in?
The
like
only
a,
way to
a
win
nightgown?
Is to not play.
Right. Yeah. What do you think you should be? Like super dressed up?
I don't know. Just maybe just like a...
Should I have said, hey, it's in a real studio?
I know. This is really fancy. Look at these. I mean, I'm just impressed. That's all.
Yeah. Well, you should have seen our other one. It's like Howard Stern Studio. We were in there for how long?
Which is like a tiny...
Almost a year.
It's like a tiny thing?
No, that thing's huge. We could play full court basketball in there.
Oh, Howard's is tiny. Howard's is smaller than this.
No,
really?
In terms of... I know. I did Howard's twice. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, oh,
Howard
like
Stern
right.
is gorgeous.
Right.
That studio is gorgeous. This one, once we start putting up our nudie pictures,
yeah,
should be great.
I like this. It's very intimidating.
Yeah, I mean, because most of the time you go to a podcast or radio show.
I don't do podcasts, Sam. I'm only doing this because I love you. I never do podcasts.
Hold on.
You know that I have a no podcast rule. I've only done it for people that I wanted to
sleep
seek revenge upon with kindness.
Yes.
No. Like Ari Shaffir, I had like beef with Ari for so long and he treated me shit. So I decided, okay, karmically, I'm going to do a really nice thing and do his podcast.
Yes.
So that I can win.
What? Did you win?
I think I won. Yeah,
well, you've won in life.
The
we'll
stats came.
Too.
If you check the sports section, I think it came out. And then what else? I don't.
You
I did
Brad
Williams.
Williams,
and because they were like, this, I mean, what was I going to do? Say no?
Yeah, you did say no.
They were like, because I literally. Oh, this is what I did. I dared them. I was like, all right, I'll do it if you come to my house. And they were like, all right. I was like, shit.
Yeah, never thinking they'd say okay.
Never thinking they'd do it. So they called my bluff. And
they probably need a place to crash. They probably got big couches.
That was like 2 months ago, and they're still there.
I mean, Brad Williams can sleep in Ramona's crate if he wants to.
I love that on this show, Brad Williams is like name.
Yeah.
Like, you can just
we drop him a lot.
We don't even have to
he
say that.
He moves the needle.
Yeah.
He literally would get up and move
lot
the needle.
A lot of buzz.
A lot of people are talking.
Even though the needle's bigger than he is, he can move it. But I got to laugh on that.
You're killing.
Wait,
we would have fake laughter, but you shunned our studio audience.
I did. I had to. And then that's it. And then I say no to all the other ones.
Who have you? I would love to know who you've turned down just so I can feel good
it's
about myself.
It's not like I basically just reschedule for like 2 years
yeah.
until they just stop asking, you
smart,
know?
Smart. Because,
I mean, Spade has a good point about it. He says that podcasts are like jury duty. Like, you know, you have to do your friends at
right.
some point. But
yeah.
you asked me to do it, and I said yes right away.
Yeah, because we're friends for a long time.
I like you, and I don't know why.
I don't
there's
know
no,
why.
There's no,
I'm very
there's no
thankful,
reason for it.
I've been always been nice to you.
I know.
Even when you ran around with a backpack on.
Oh, my God. That is, you were the only person. I feel like you're the only person that was nice to me in the beginning, and now you're more mean to me. But in the beginning, you
I've
were nice to
I've never been
me.
Mean to you,
it's
ever.
It's true. I'm,
ever.
It's true.
I love talking to you. You're the one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Here's the thing about Sam is that even though he's saying the nicest shit to you, it sounds like he's insulting you. Like, because you also nod no when you talk to
yes,
people.
Yes, I do.
You do. So if
I know. Because I'm thinking, I'm rattling. My head's like a magic eight ball, and I'm just trying to get what I want to say next.
Like, literally, he'll be like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm doing that. And he's like,
oh, yeah. Like, people always say that. It's like, you're just always moving your head.
Like,
I think that's my
you.
ADD.
You're
that's
nodding. ADD. Just like, no, I'm not buying any of the bullshit you're telling me.
I'm in my zone. I'm lost in my head. Deep fucking space.
Just rage. Yeah. So
no,
I just have a penchant
nice.
For Sam Tripoli. What can I say?
You should. I've always showed you nothing but love, and you should get love. You're one of the nicest people I've met out here. You're one of the hardest people I know.
Hardest?
Hardest workers
I'm
I know.
Pretty hard these days. I never know if that's a compliment.
It is. You did the work of 10 years in 3 years. That's what
yeah,
I think about
it's
you.
It's called fear. It's called outrunning pain. Trying
yes.
to outrun
what are you
it
running from?
On the treadmill of sitcoms. But you know what else I love? I always think that that's a backhanded compliment that you work hard. Like, you know when you come off stage and you get backhanded compliments? Like, you come off stage and someone will be like, hey, I liked it.
Yeah.
Or like, this is the best. This is the best. Weird crowd.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, I thought you killed. I thought you
I
did
great. I do that
great.
To people all the time.
You know what? You're too smart for them.
Yeah.
You're like, I thought I did fine.
They're an I love ice cream crowd. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, or like time. When I come off stage and someone's like, hey, you're like a great writer.
No.
And I'm like, oh, that's what hard worker, that's how it feels to me. You're a really hard worker. No. I'm not going to say anything about what you've worked on, but you've worked hard at it.
You've worked on every. I mean, like, I always feel like when someone says, hey, man, great job. That means okay. Oh, you yeah. did all right. You didn't do that great.
Great
you did.
Job.
You did your job. But someone goes, good set, man. That means you crushed it. It's very weird that
I think if a comic says nothing, that means you crushed
they
it.
They just give you
when
blue
they ignore
steel.
It. Yeah, when they're just like, hey, so what's going on? Like, just totally pretend like it didn't just happen.
Now, have you ever tried to bury somebody? Have you ever tried to go up on stage and go, oh, this guy's a fucking dick. Let's put in the work.
Like, wait, a audience member or a comic?
Comic following you. You're like, oh, this guy. This is the dude. Let's see how he does. And you just throw fastballs to the crowd.
Because I know that he's coming on next.
Yeah. You don't do that? Well, that's why you're successful. And I'm vindictive.
I don't even know who's going on next most of the time.
Okay, let's see how this kid's going to do now. And I just throw fastball.
Sam, you should always be throwing fastballs.
No. Sometimes.
I always try to do well regardless.
I am somebody who feels...
Not just out of spite.
By the way, I think it's the opposite. My power move is if someone's following me or I know someone's in the room, I try to just bomb. Because that's power. To be able to just not have to try and just be like, yeah, I can just get up here and talk.
I call that the Damon Wayans theory. Just go up there and just
like
bomb,
not,
fuck you, I'm rich.
If I know important people are in the room or like someone that I want to get the respect or something that's in my head, I'll just literally go the opposite direction. I won't do a material, like I won't push. Like,
I won't
just,
change
like,
my set.
I'll boycott.
I had some casting director just come see me. They're like, oh, I'm going to come see you in the crowd. Oh, I'm like, I'm working on new stuff. I'm not changing. I'm going to do this new stuff. I'm most likely going to be screaming at the crowd at some point if they don't get fucking comedy. I'm going to be yelling. You know, of course, I didn't hear from her.
But do you think that you, like, do you have dysmorphia about, because you're like, you always kill. Do you think sometimes you don't?
Oh, yeah. I have bomb ears.
Yeah.
I have bomb
me
ears.
Me too.
But halfway through, they're like.
I always think I'm eating shit. I'll be killing applause breaks. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you guys?
Yeah. I won't even.
Everyone's like, what?
I won't even give them a chance not to like me. I'd be like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. Really? You don't like that?
Do you remember Ian Bagg? I just haven't seen him in a while.
He's touring.
That's all
he does.
He's always on the road. But he's this comic who, when I was coming up, I used to watch him go on stage. He would be killing for like 2 minutes and then just turn on the audience and start yelling at them and lose them and then start killing to get him back. And then be like, oh, what the fuck, you guys hate Canadians?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Like, what the fuck kind of what do you want, Dane Cook? And he was doing great. And you would just watch him just self-destruct. You do the same thing.
All the time. They're like, we like you. Fuck you.
I know. And then you lose respect for them because they think you're funny. And then it's just.
There's been times where, back in my youth where I'd see them laughing at somebody I was upset they were laughing at. I'm like, I'm going to scorch their earth with these people.
But like that, if you make them laugh, you're rewarding them. I mean, the real revenge would be going up and just bombing or.
I don't. I I go nuts if I bomb. If I have a bad set, I sit in the car. I'm wondering what the fuck I'm doing with my life.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and you can't get it off until you kill again. It's like...
The worst is when you have a great set, and then you're like, I'm going to go do another set.
No, you can't.
And
can
you
I
try to ride that, and you just walk in like, I just saved the world.
I have a rule. If you do... Because, like, I mean, we all try to do a couple sets a night. I have a rule that if you try to do three sets a night, you'll kill the first and bomb the second two. I don't know
it
why.
Is heroin withdrawal. You're like, totally. Yeah, I'm the killer. I'm the killer. I'm the King Slayer. And then you just go up and you bomb. You're like, what?
Because every audience is so drastically different. So I'll go to Laugh Factory, kill, go to the Comedy Store, just be eating shit for 20 minutes.
But that's the beauty of the store.
Same material.
It just strips you.
Yeah. It's just like a.
I love it. Now, you play all three as much as you want. Do you have one that's your. A favorite?
Well, the Comedy Store is my favorite. Comedy Store is my priority. Well, because the Comedy Store is, I feel like, just how you get better. You know, it's, I mean, and
do you have a theory on why the Comedy Store makes you better?
I have a couple of theories on why the Comedy Store makes you better.
Can we hear theory four?
You know, rank them. You know all of them too. I think a lot of it has to do with the lighting. I think in the original room, the way that the audience is completely dark and the comic is lit so bright, you can't see the audience, which, number one, they don't feel obligated to laugh. They have no accountability.
Right.
Number two, you can't really lean on crowd work because you can't see them. And number three, it's the light is blinding you so intensely that they like see your soul. Like you can't lie at the comic.
You
can't phone
lie.
It in. You can't cheat.
I think the reason the Comedy Store is the best is because there's no hosts there. Like, if someone flame throws the room, you have to walk into a fire.
Right.
And there's no one like I've been on.
Or if someone bombs, you have to walk into a fucking
clean up that
mess. You have to ground zero.
Like, did somebody get raped on stage? Like, I felt like just I've gone up after people where you're like, there is a really uncomfortable mood.
That's a good point. You know who used to kill so hard? I used to go after. I can't remember his name. Who is the guy?
There's a guy
who's that super funny older black guy.
Dude, that's who I was thinking. AJ Jamal.
Yes! What the? Like, I don't even know
AJ
this guy.
Jamal scares me because this guy was so funny, and you're like, where is AJ Jamal?
By the way, what happened to, like, Joey Diaz?
Joey
like,
Diaz is huge.
Wait, I'm thinking of some. I'm being racist. Who? No, who's the other guy from Mad TV? Super.
Bobby Lee.
No, no. I can't remember.
Johnny Sanchez.
Yes.
He got the end.
So funny.
So funny. So
I haven't seen him in 6 years.
I know he does some Laugh Factory spot, and I think he just is touring. Yeah. He got the end of that Mad TV stuff, got that shot, and I don't know what happened to that.
Yeah.
Then I heard some crazy stuff that I don't want to get into on the show. But
sorry.
No, it's all good.
My dog is just pitbulling it up in here on everybody.
Now,
you
if you notice that she has mascara or eyeliner
on. Yes, I did tattoo eyeliner on my dog.
So she's Latina.
Yes, she is.
Ramona is Latina.
She draws her eyebrows on with a Sharpie every morning and just got a job at Taco Bell.
Mijo.
Mijo.
Yeah, AJ Jamal, I think about this guy. I'm like, people used to be like, AJ Jamal killed. I'm like, tell me when AJ Jamal bombs. That's what I want to know. Because that's a news. I mean, literally,
but what,
he would walk
what
up.
Was it like really? It was just really like effusive, like performance stuff, right?
Well, he would do jokes about, you know, his wife and, you know, it was
cheating.
Well,
I mean, that's cheating. Having a wife is just like already funny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's cheating.
If you just do men and women material,
that's
you're
like steroids.
Murder.
Like, here's the thing. Like, in sports, they're not allowed to take steroids. They're not allowed to use performance enhancers. I think in comedy, you shouldn't be able to have a wife or kids.
Material?
Yes.
Oh, goodbye to
half. Like that's the steroids. I mean, like, literally, I'm like, I just want to have a kid so I can have a new hour.
If you could, that's great.
I'm
Why
not
don't
kidding.
You make up fake kids?
Because that would be insane.
Foster care. Just too foster
lying.
Care. Foster care.
That's the thing about the store, though. I don't think you can lie. You can't, like, for some reason on that stage, you just can't lie. They don't buy it. They don't believe it.
Yeah, that's my problem. I have a bunch of jokes I really love, and they're killing up to this ending. And right at the ending, I don't know how to end these jokes. So I go with this kind of fake alternative.
Nope, you can't.
And just the crowd's like, that part's not real, is it?
They're like, nope, that never happened.
That's some bullshit
you're like,
right
why
there.
Why wouldn't you buy that I went through a breakup? Like, why is that not a logic? They just don't believe it. I think there's something about the lighting in there that they just see doubt and they see the truth and they see your soul.
It is a Comedy Store thing.
It breaks you and makes you figure
out
who you are.
Were you around for Dublin's?
You know what? I was right after Dublin's. That was the big Jay Davis, Dane Cook.
Superfest
situation. No,
so you never got up there?
No, I never went up to Dublin.
That was a great example of how great Comedy Store comics are.
Well, because that was because they would just go up and just
murder.
Destroy.
And yeah, then you'd see other clubs. I don't want to say which ones. Just bomb.
Bomb. Yeah.
Bomb.
Yeah.
Bomb.
No, I know. You can tell a difference between Comedy Store comics, and sometimes it's not even just in their set. It's when shit goes wrong.
So,
like when a drunk guy in the audience gets kicked out or a girl starts screaming, that's when you can tell the difference between a Comedy Store comic and any other comic.
Yeah,
is when shit hits the fan, they always know how to handle
it. We work in an environment where we have to handle it because security.
One. There's none. La Jolla. Do you know how many times I almost died at La Jolla? Do you know how many? Because La Jolla Comedy Store is all like Marines and like just like entitled rich girls that get drunk.
Bourgeois, rich bourgeois trash.
Yeah. And no security whatsoever. And
Comedy
all
Store
the-
loves emo. Band members.
I was going to say, as their security. So the security is literally Daria.
Yeah.
the security members are all like in bands.
Death Cab for Cutie. all the keyboardists who have a day
the
off.
The Strokes are the security.
Just skinny
and
jeans.
They all want us to die so that they can get more spots. Yeah. So they, when someone attacks us, they're just like, were you there for the fight with Steve Byrne and Brett Ernst? In the main room, I remember being there at like 1 a.m. on like a Tuesday and like waiting out to go on.
Oh, in Hollywood?
Yeah, in Hollywood.
I wasn't there, but I heard about it.
Steve was on stage.
Steve Byrne got a fight? That's incredible.
But here's the thing. I just would never, like, first of all, Steve was the first person that ever helped me in stand-up on MySpace. I was like trying to get spots. I had done Last Call with Carson Daly it was terrible. I mean, I was just like saying jokes, like you know. And I'd only been doing stand up a couple months. He MySpaced me and was like, "Hey, if you're ever in New York, let me know if I can help you get you spots." And I'm like, "All right."
Did
sure
you
enough,
just fly to New York
at that point. I just started
private jet.
I started
go.
Running out. No, I was fucking poor as fuck. And so I go to New York. Sure enough, and I'm like, "Hey, I'm coming to New York." He gets me spots at. Like Stand Up New York, Comic Strip Live, a guest spot at Caroline's, all this stuff. And he's like, "Hey, I'd love to come see you." I'm like, I gotta fuck this guy. I mean, I'm fully ready to blow, take.
God, I wish that's new. All
he
took
shows
back
up
the
with the hottest model I've ever seen. No interest in me romantically whatsoever. Just did it. He's just been so nice to me.
He is that guy.
He'll punch a taxi cab driver in the face at noon
we deserve
on a Wednesday.
we deserve it once in a while. He's great. I mean, I've had crazy. Have I ever told the story of the Hell's Angels person on this show?
No,
I've never told this.
I definitely remember that.
No. I'm doing stand up at the Comedy Store, right in La Jolla. I'm just killing it, right? I start getting heckled by this old dude. And this old dude, and he's just laughing and heckling. I'm like, "Oh, you're tough, right? Why don't you come up on stage? We'll do a sexy dance competition." This is a long time ago. This guy comes up. He comes up. He's just got like old man shred. Like he's got wife beater, and it was like prison shred. He lifts his arms to show everybody. I see three SSs on his arm. Each SS is somebody he killed in prison. So I realize this is real deal crazy shit, right? So I do this thing back in the day when I was young. I used to do a thing called reverse skull hump on stage. It was a big closer. Kids loved it. It was very popular.
Big at birthdays and bat mitzvahs.
Yeah, I tried to get a development deal on it. But I did it. Turns out that this guy, and you can go on YouTube, if you look, there's a video of him and the San Diego cops going at it. And he's like, "We know you're talking about us. Watch your back, brother. You don't know who's after you." I'm like, "Holy fuck." Someone at the show comes up to me and goes, "That guy's blah, blah, blah. He's been banned from California for 2 years. Last time he was in California, he got arrested. Cops are tasering. He poured vodka all over himself
and
he went crazy."
Did he set himself on fire?
Yeah, he was about to.
Or maybe he was just missing his mouth.
Yeah. I'm so crazy. We just won the White Trash Championship.
Whoa, is he single?
Yes.
Sounds like the kind of guy wasn't. I would ruin my life for.
He came with the craziest chick. They go, "His girlfriend's even crazier." They were at a Christmas party. She starts going nuts. She grabs girl's head, smashes it against the bar. stool. I'm like, yeah, that's who heckles me.
Oh, my God.
But I've been heckled so much, and I'm so dead on the inside.
I learned a new thing dealing with hecklers. Something happened where I stopped. Like this actually happened in La Jolla, where when someone's heckling you, there's a very specific kind of damage going on with the heckler. Like, you know, I'm so codependent. All I care about is them being okay. But this girl, I was running my hour in La Jolla, and I literally had to run it for the director. I'm filming it. I'm timing it. Like, I got to get through this shit. I'm doing this just to run my hour. I'm trying to make it good.
You're professional.
I'm doing clubs. Like, I'm really trying to make this good. And so this girl starts yelling, starts being like, I don't think that's true. Now I'm doing a Crystalia bit. But you know what I'm saying? Like, she's like, that's not true. Like, where'd you learn? Like, she was just being really shitty. Right. And it kept interrupting. And I just didn't acknowledge her at all because my dog trainer said that when my dog acts like a jerk, just ignore her.
Okay.
So that's my new thing with people.
Yeah.
Didn't work. She clearly needed to be heard. And I just said to her, I was like, honey, you got to go because I can't give you what you need right now. Like, I just can't give you, like, I can't
how the crowd
fill this hole. And everyone started clapping because it was like, I just didn't try to trash her. I wasn't mean to her. Like, because someone that's doing that is already so broken anyway and in so much pain. Like, I was just like, I can't do this for you. I'll buy your drinks. I'll pay for everything. But just, you have to go.
But you called her out in the best possible
way. Like, literally,
way.
Like, honey, like, I'm sorry. I can't do this for you. I'm so sorry. I can't
fill that hole.
I can't do it. There's plenty of guys here who will fill that hole, yeah. I'm sure. But I just was like, I had compassion for her more than, like, hostility, which is what I usually am with, like, who wants to fight me. I kind of was like, I feel like, I don't know. I think maybe it's because I was doing the roast for so long and I started feeling bad. Like, I feel bad being mean to people now. Like, I just don't.
Well, what got weird about the roast was that it got away from friends racking friends to people just trying to say
to unknowns slamming their heroes.
Yeah.
I'm like, why am I slamming all these super talented people that are just awesome? Yeah. And, like, have been so nice to me.
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, why am I slamming Greg Giraldo, my favorite comic? Like,
he was so funny. He's the funniest. He had my favorite line ever in a roast. It was to Sarah Silverman. She goes, Courtney Love, your acting career dried up quicker than Sarah Silverman's pussy when she's hanging out with someone who
can't help her in the
career.
Business.
The whole place, they go to Sarah Silverman, her face is going.
And it's not even like a well done joke. It's not like a clever, it's just like fucking the coldest shit you could say. I also, he said, one of my favorites is at the Flavor Roast, he said to Ice-T, Ice, you used your first residual check to pay for your freedom.
That was great.
Like, he just fucking just.
That was great.
I know.
What was that like? How did you get the roast? Like, you, it kind of like you were doing Chelsea for a little while, and that was kind of. Was that part of
that
a bigger plan?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I guess that was before. Yeah. No, the roast basically, like, I said to my manager at the time, I was like, I really want to write for the roasts. Like, I love writing jokes, you know? And I was writing them in my act as a stand-up, but then I was like, you do that in the very beginning. You write jokes, and then you have to have an opinion and start being a real comedian at some point. So I was like, I still love writing jokes. I was writing on Last Call Carson Daly, which is like a...
Oh, what about Live New Girls? That story's
live
my
new comedy.
Favorite.
Wait, what
story.
Do you...
Story.
What's the story?
When you pull me aside, you're like... you don't know what just happened with Carmen Electra.
Oh my God, that is such a good story. I blocked that out.
Funny.
It's horrible.
Oh. It's so
yeah, that's
funny.
When I started feeling bad. I basically, long story short, Carmen Electra was hosting this TV show we did.
Yeah. But this story is the power of Whitney Cummings.
No, this is this the is power your, of...
No, let me tell you. It's me. This amazing story of you having this ability. You do this thing. You write a bunch of jokes for this woman.
Right.
Right. Tell the story. Then I want to tell you why this is amazing.
I'm going to tell it super fast. I've told it before. It's like basically, you know, she wants to host it. And she's like, you know, every hot girl thinks they want to be funny until the shit really hits the fan. And then it gets great. Like basically, you know, she was like, I want to be funny. I want to be dirty. I want to be edgy. Because I said, I was like, I want to have only comics on who can do what they do.
Another reason to love you, and I'll get into that after.
Well, because I was like, I see all these comics fucking killing all the time, and they're never going to be able to get TV spots because what they do is just too
crazy,
taboo or crazy or too funny, God forbid. So I was like, I want comics to be able to do exactly what they do at midnight in the Comedy Store. And then there's burlesque dancers in between. And which to me is just kind of like, what else do you need in life? Right. Throwing a couple pit bulls, and it's pretty much my dream last night.
Yeah.
And so Carmen Electra's like, I want to be edgy. I want to be funny. Like, I want to be like at the roast. I'm like, all right. So I repurposed a bunch of jokes I had written for Pam Anderson.
I love that you repurposed
them. Yeah, for the Pam roast.
Most people would rewrite them and shove, but you repurposed.
No, I just go back into my document of like slutty hot chick jokes. And, you know, and like a bunch of, but I wrote like 8 pages of jokes talking about her. You know, like, and one of them was, Carmen Electra, you've slept with so many dudes, you don't have the clap, you have the applause. I mean, it was just like stuff like that. Like, but she was saying it in her voice, you know, like, right. I. She was down. I did jokes about Dennis Rodman and Prince and everyone that she had dated or whatever. And went to the office, sat around, her managers are there, agents are there, the producers are there, everyone's, there's like 8 people there. And I pass out, you know, the jokes, we're all looking, we're just going to check off the jokes we like, and she's reading them, and everyone's laughing, everybody's laughing.
First page, everybody's
laughing. First page,
laughing.
Everyone's laughing, everyone's laughing. Second page, gets a little quieter. Third page, Carmen is sobbing, so, like the kind of sobbing where you're like, that kind of shit. God. She can't catch her breath. She is apoplectic. So, like, hysterically, she's like, is this what you fucking think of me? You think I'm just some crack whore with AIDS? And, I was like, no, I mean, everyone else does. I don't know that much about you. I just Google thinks all this stuff. And so she was just like, you think I just like sleep around? And I was like, did you not see your Eat Your Hollywood story? Because I saw it.
Yeah.
So she quit.
So she quits at that point.
Quits.
At that point.
No, I think she like quit the business. I haven't heard from her since. She said, like, I need to regroup. Like, no one told her that was her perception of her, that she was, like, this hot, like, you know, sexy chick. I think she thought she was doing something different.
But at that point, are you just a writer writing jokes at that point?
Well, I was producing the show, too, so.
Were you producing or executive producing?
Executive producing.
At that point?
Yeah.
You're amazing.
So I don't care. I just want things to be funny. I don't like there's, you know, so to me, I was just, you know, I don't know how to like do anything else. But at the time, and I also was kind of didn't know what I was doing. I just, to me, I was like funny wins. It was before I understood that was not a rule that anyone besides comics lives by.
Yeah.
It's like, so then we ended up getting Shannon Elizabeth, who was sweet.
She was great.
She was great and definitely had a couple moments where she was like, got upset. And I was like, okay, we'll just stay away from it. And just,
but you booked literally all your friends from the store.
Yeah.
Which to this day, I don't know anybody who's ever done that on anything. Aww. I mean, you see a couple TV shows do that, but I've never seen anybody book all their friends from a comedy club that they worked at.
Oh, that's
have
nice.
You seen anybody do that? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Can I get a shout out?
Chelsea might do it. Chelsea does it.
Yeah, Chelsea did
Chelsea
that
does
too.
It. Yeah, with her, you know, people that she, were good to her when she came up.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, Chelsea
I think
did.
She had more, like, animosity at the store thrown at her. So she, I don't think, I mean, so did I, but I kind of, like, you know.
Did you get a lot of animosity?
Have lower standards. I don't think, I think everyone gets it. You know, people say, like, is it hard being a girl? I'm like, it's hard being anyone at the fucking
100%.
Store. The only thing worse than being a girl at the store is being a guy at the store. I don't want any of it. You know, it's just, you got to be, that's why you know me. I just get in and I get out.
You've always gotten in. You've always gotten in, gotten out.
In the beginning, though, I had to wait so long that I had to stick around, you know, and it's just this, you know. But that back then, it felt like such a, like, miasma of toxic shit. It doesn't feel like that
anymore.
Let's talk
about when Tommy discovered you. Let's talk about that moment.
Does everyone on this podcast just know Tommy?
Yeah, I think
of course I do. But I mean, sure our listeners, we reference the Comedy Store often.
I love that.
On this show.
Yeah. Okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
More often than Brad Williams.
Yeah.
Our listeners know him too. Tommy does? Or really?
He listens? He what? You're Tommy.
No, what? What?
He's the Tommy of this podcast.
Yeah,
Tommy calls me the retard every time I go. Because I guess I insulted him once when I was doing like a crazy Cindy thing. And then I go to the Tuesday battles and I'm like inappropriate way too fast.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he's.
Yeah, you're inappropriate, dude.
Yeah.
You're an inappropriate dude.
Yeah, you've been filming me for 2 hours.
Yes.
I'm not wearing any makeup.
So we won't put
Please
those
stop.
Out.
Yeah, if you could just
out.
Use those for your private
yeah.
collection.
Beat don't, off of those on your own. You don't have to put those out.
Blog or tweet those.
Anything. We'll take them all down.
Just like zero makeup.
Zero, but you look fabulous.
I know.
So I talked to you. I've been trying to get you on the show forever. You're like, I'm taking a little break. In that break, you've written what? 1.5 movies?
Wait, stop. What? There was something else you were talking about.
When Tommy discovered.
Yes. Oh, that's nothing either. I mean, well, you know, this is the story. Well, Tommy, okay, so he kept trying to help me get spots. I would go, but people are like, when he just keeps getting. I used to go to the potluck with the homeless people every Sunday and Monday for like 3 years before I ever got anything, before I even got to showcase. I would go at, you go at 5 o'clock, you sign up, you wait till 7, and then hopefully Doc or someone will help you out and put you on. And then you wait around for another 2 hours to bomb for 3 minutes. So it's like a 6-hour commitment that just makes you hate yourself even more.
That's why I don't think you were pushed in front of line at all. I never got that sense. I think you earned everything you got.
That's nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
But then I'm trying to think, and then I would just hustle, and then the first time I showcased in front of Mitzi, she didn't show up. The second time I did it was on tape, and then she came back and she said I reminded her of Roseanne, which was like a double-edged compliment.
She discovered her game. Her first spot was a main room spot. I mean,
that's like me saying you remind me of Louis Anderson.
I would have to hear the sense of it because Louis Anderson was pretty fucking successful.
I know.
Successful.
I'm talking just body wise. Right. That's all. You remind me of Roseanne.
Put out all those videos whenever you're ready.
Get that Wi-Fi. Code.
Yeah. As soon as you're connected.
Upload it.
Playboy radio password fisting. you've made it. How's it feel? Do you ever enjoy it?
Well, no. We talk about this all the time. Sam is my indicator of my success. I check in with Sam to see how I'm doing career-wise because I have such bad dysmorphia about it. Like, I have no idea. Like, I think I'm such a failure.
I know. That's it's crazy. So amazing.
And then I see
me.
You at the dog park and you're like, you made it. And I'm like, are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know. I gotta go write something. I don't know. It's I don't feel that
I'm
way.
Amazed that you don't enjoy it. I'm not saying you gotta go around like fucking making it rain everywhere.
Yeah.
Or talking about Whitney in third person. Whitney don't know what she's working on next. Whitney? Yeah, Whitney. You know Whitney. Ramona, get over here. You know, you don't have to reproduce.
Tommy, go walk Ramona.
Tommy, grab the fucking dog, Tommy. Whitney's going to do a hard 30.
Hey, Mitzi, go get my car. I don't know. I think that when I was doing all that, I was so unconscious. Like, and that was my biggest regret. I don't feel like it was present enough for a lot of it, but I think that I see myself as a comic first, so that's really what I measure myself by. And I think for all the other stuff is like, I have no relationship to it or understanding of what that is. I'm so dysmorphic about it, and it was pretty traumatizing, so I don't think about it, but stand up. So for me,
it was traumatizing.
It was a little traumatizing. I mean, it's like we've talked about this, which is like, you know, when you're stand up, you get successful at stand up, you're good at stand up, and then people give you an opportunity to like, and then all of a sudden I'm a boss of 200 people. I'm like, I became a stand up so I didn't have to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
So that no one would talk back to me.
Stand ups are a lot like people who run marathons. They very much love to isolate.
Yeah. It's like, you're a stand up, now go do long form improv. I'm like, I don't want to talk to anyone else.
But you're awesome at talking to people. And I think as long as
not being the boss,
the
boss of people.
But you're great at talking to people. And I think personally, you're really probably one of the best at talking to suits. You seem to be able to talk to them. Me, I isolate. I just don't want to talk. I am Boba Fett. I want to show up. I want to walk on stage. Yeah. I want to massacre people, and I want to go away.
Yeah.
We
have a very specific relationship with people. I think I've gotten worse with suits, actually. Like, I think I do have trouble with authority figures, but I'm pretty good at people-pleasing and walking on eggshells. My parents, I grew up in an alcoholic home. That's what happens.
Yeah.
As I work through that, it's
getting... coming back.
Hey, keep working if you work it. So worth it. And so I don't know. It's tricky because I think I was better with them when I trusted them implicitly because I was like, oh, you run a production. You obviously know what you're doing. And then I was like, oh, you don't. So now I like have all this like.
But it is what it is. It's the past and you're doing great. I just think you have this ability to tell suits what you want and you were able to get them. And I think you're incredibly successful.
That's sweet. But again, like I look at it through stand-up. So stand-up, I did a special like 3 years ago.
Killed?
Yeah, I did. But I mean, it's weird. It's like looking at a photo of what you wore 3 years ago. You're like, right. What was that haircut? What was that? Right. So you look at your, you know, as soon as I tape something, I think it's terrible. It's like, ugh. You know, like it's like listening to your voice on a voicemail. So I am putting out a new special. And like, so now.
And when will that be out?
June 28th.
Oh, that's a month after my CD comes
out.
May 20th on iTunes.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's why I did it that way.
I can tell. Your people coordinated.
We planned it around that. But so now I'm like just a comedian without any new material, which is feels like a failure.
Which is crazy to walk up with. Because I've been doing that too. And I just walk up and I'm like, here's all this new shit. And I can't do the simple stuff that I know is going to kill.
No, I can't do material I've shot. I literally can't remember.
Yeah, it's what the comics, it's like what Tony Rocks talked about. And that is, it's not music.
It's not music. And also it's like.
You can play Freebird to the end of days.
Yeah. And people want to hear it over and over again. Comedy is surprise. You can't have heard it more than
surprise. That's exactly.
So it's like, but I also am like, my stuff is so personal that I literally outgrow it. So it's like, I was going to shoot my special in like May, but I was like, I got to shoot this sooner. I shot it early February because I just got out of a breakup and I was talking about it. I was like, I can't keep talking about this. Like I'm now in a new relationship and I'm like emotionally can't be in this place anymore. Like I had grown past it or something.
How is being in a relationship as a female comic and talking about it on stage? Because you see guys do it all the time, and I just feel like their girlfriends are like, this is the part of dating a comic. Everything I do will be telecast.
Yeah. Well, it's actually worse because when you're dating someone new, all the stuff you're talking about is about the previous person or other people you've slept with, and you're just having to watch the highlight reel of all the people that the person you're in love with has slept with. It's horrible. So my last guy I dated, I didn't let him see me do stand-up for 5 months. He saw me the week before I did my special, and that was the first time he'd ever seen me do stand-up because I was like, I just don't want him to see it. There's stuff in my act that I wouldn't tell him that I tell strangers every night. Like, there was literally stuff in my act that I didn't want him to know. So that I was.
And when he heard those jokes, how did that go?
It was good. It was good. I mean, he had a couple drinks and like he was with friends and like they were laughing and everyone. I think when everyone's laughing, you know, and he was very like, oh, they're jokes. And I'm like, are they? like, yeah, totally. Yeah, they're just jokes. Yeah, they're just jokes, guys.
There's no way that's real.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of just tried to. We didn't really talk about it.
Was there anything you tried to talk about on your special that was too real that the crowd wouldn't go along with? I think we talked about that the other day. That people, because we're both talking about doing stories on stage and how sometimes people want honesty, but they don't want too much honesty.
Yeah.
And we kind of had a discussion on what we think is real and what's not real. I mean, what they'll accept and what they won't accept.
Yeah.
Was there anything you talked about where they're like, okay, that's good, but they won't go with that?
I in my last few specials, at least, I've really stuck to like relationships and sex stuff, like personal stuff like that. Like I don't go off into like as much taboo stuff as you do, although I would like to. So a lot of it's so.
Will there be a time where you will do that?
I want to. I actually started doing some racial stuff just because at the time, like in the last couple months, I was dating a black guy and I was dealing with so much weird shit around it that I started talking about it. But people generally really liked it. But I feel like when you talk about that kind of stuff, people laugh harder than they should to kind of be like, we're not racist.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, like you feel this people like leaning into you like, this is our chance to prove it.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like too much support that felt everything was killing like instantly. And I'm always suspicious of that. And so I was kind of like, I feel like you guys are just trying to prove something to yourselves that you're supportive of this interracial thing or something.
Was that your first black guy you dated?
Yeah, it was the first black guy, seriously. It was great. I mean, it was funny. I was like, I wish we were still together so I could have a new special soon. But it was great. But what was interesting to me was more the way people perceived it, like black girls didn't like it.
Of course. You're taking a man.
I had Leslie Jones yelling at me at the Comedy Store for like 20 minutes.
I'm sure. And that's a black
that's
man yelling at you.
Yikes. That's a scary one. And it was actually a good, this is at least what black girls and black men told me was, you know, black guys do not like to be disrespected. Like, don't disrespect them. And that's like the only way I know how to talk to people is like, what's up, asshole? Hey, fuck face.
I wish we got more into that. Yeah, dude. That is got to be a hard thing.
It was good practice for me to not talk to people that way.
And, you know, but I find, and then we got to wrap it up, that there are things that guys say, because I thought about our conversation we had the other day. I'm not going to get too much into that detail, but I've thought about what you said, and there are times where guys want to say something, and we got to bite our lip. It's that happy wife, happy life thing, yeah. And you got to kind of pick your battles.
Yeah, well, it's the same, but I also, just to not sound like I'm singling out, but I don't think white guys like it either.
I think white guys
are a little more scared of me. He wasn't scared of me, and that was an interesting dynamic.
Like, men are little pussies. White guys are pussies. Like, brothers, Latinos, they're still men. I just read a story about a Mexican guy who got drunk in Miami and just started shooting his friends to prove he was a better Mexican than them.
No, but this, you'll like this real fast. One time, like, I feel like people think of me as, like, in relationships. I'm like, how dare you? Don't fucking talk to me like that. You won't have. So he had this girl text him one time. I was like, picked up his phone to use his phone. And there was a text from a girl. I'm not kidding you. Was programmed in as Sandylicious. Okay. And it said, like, where are you? And I literally was like, I'm sorry. I feel like on behalf of all women, I need to bring this up. Why is a girl named Sandylicious texting you, asking you where you are? And he was like, that's none of your business. And I was like, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Oh.
Like, I didn't even fight it.
That is, that white guys could never get away with that.
He'd be dead.
White guys could. I would love to continue this conversation.
He'd be dead. Dog park. We'll do it at the dog park.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Neither does Donald Sterling. Topical. I'm topical.
Look at you playing the room. Whitney, I love you. You've always been the nicest person to me. Your talk show, whether it's your talk show, whether it was Live New Girls, you've always treated me very well, and I'm very thankful that we are friends. When's your special come out?
He's blending a few things.
Yeah, I know. June 28th on Comedy Central.
June 28th, Comedy Central. All right, I think we'll just add those stuff in later. Guys, it's been great. Playboy Radio, we'll be back on the other side. We'll talk to you guys soon. All things comedy. Take care, everybody. She's a killer queen. Dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. Ooh, recommended at the price. Insatiable and appetite. Wanna try? Honey, you gotta go, because I can't give you what you need right now.